Hey everyone, welcome to the Private Pilot Bootcamp to prepare you for your check ride. So this is the Private Pilot Check Ride Bootcamp. We are looking specifically at the Private Pilot ACS, Airman Certification Standards. This is the guideline, this is the blueprint of your check ride, exactly what the examiner is going to work from to develop their questions and their tasks that they want you to perform in the aircraft to earn your private pilot certificate. So before we can really jump into all this, we first want to talk about what the ACS is, how to understand it, read it, and how you can use this to prepare for your private pilot check ride. Now, the ACS is this big, long document that you can go ahead and download and print out right below this first podcast file here. It is broken up into 12 areas of operation. Think of areas of operation like chapters. So it's broken up into 12 chapters, 12 areas of operation. Now, one of these areas of operations doesn't even apply to you because we're talking about airplane single engine land, and it is specifically about multi-engine operations. Now, within the chapters, it makes sense that we would have some sections or some topics to talk about, and those are called tasks. So within each area of operation, there is one or more tasks that may or may not apply to your specific check ride, but the examiner, of course, is going to stick to what just applies to you for private pilot airplane single engine land. Now, we will go through each of these tasks with you line by line to make sure you know everything you need to know about what is going to be coming to you, what they're going to be bringing up, so there's no surprises on the day of your check ride, and that you are thoroughly prepared to answer and deal with each one of these tasks that comes up now. So each one of these tasks that we talk about is going to be broken into five key sections. First, we're going to have the task title. That's not really too important, right? But right below that, we have references. And so the references are exactly what they're referencing with their questions or what they're bringing up here. So when they talk about, hey, cross-country flight planning, and you say, gee, what do I need to know about cross-country flight planning? They'll go ahead and list some references of everything you need to know about that specific task. The examiner cannot and will not ask you any questions that are not covered in those specific references. And we're going to go through every single reference for the private pilot check right here in just a minute. But for now, I just want you to realize that the first section here in each task is references, and that is the specific official documentation, the official learning or study material that contains the answers, the information that you should know that pertains to that task. So when they say, hey, this task in area of operation one, task D, cross-country flight planning, you know, talk to me about this or that, whatever question they ask you, you can always find the answer contained within that reference material. It's going to be no more, no less. The test is very specific as to what they're looking for. It's not an endless pile or an endless pit of knowledge that you need to have. The next part of each task is going to be the objective. So the objective just simply states exactly what their objective is for this task, what they want you, the applicant, the student, to know about. The next section is knowledge. And the next three sections, really, we have knowledge, risk management, and skills. These are the specific items that they're really testing you on, and all the questions and scenarios will be derived from this knowledge area, the risk management area, and the skills area. And that's what we're going to be taking the time to go with you through line by line to make sure you thoroughly understand what is going to be expected of you on your check ride, as well as give you the time to prepare and fill in any remaining holes that you might have from your training right now before you go for that private pilot check ride. We're going to be going line by line through this. Now, before we jump into all that, I want to talk a little bit more about references. So the references for the private pilot check ride are all outlined in the Private Pilot ACS at the end of the document in Appendix 9. So if you scroll down through that document, the current rendition of the document, it's on page A24, so the appendix section, page 24, Appendix 9. And really for us, that's going to be in the document itself, page 99 of 101, if you're reading this as a PDF. So let's go through line by line here to start before we jump into all of our tasks, what the reference material is, what should you have studied to this point? Now, much of this reference material would have already been combined into the Private Pilot Ground School online at flyatmikealpha.com. So if you've already gone through that course, you've probably already gotten what you need to out of all this reference material. But if you want to do it the old-fashioned manual way, well, then everything we list off here is something that you're going to want to review manually. Or if you haven't been through that full premium private pilot ground school yet at Flight Mike Alpha, then you might want to go ahead and take time to go through that course very thoroughly. But anyways, let's jump into what the reference material is. The first reference material they list for us here is 14 CFR Part 39. That just means the FAR AIM, all right, your big blue book, and that is going to be Title 14 CFR, so basically what's in the blue book, and Part 39 in that blue book, Airworthiness Directives, all right? Now, what's important to know is that that blue book is actually just produced, if you're holding the ASA blue book, it's produced by ASA. It's a third-party company. It's not from the FAA. It's not legally binding. And just because it says 2020 or 2021 on that book doesn't mean it's actually current or valid in any way. The best place to go for up-to-date current regulations is ecfr.gov, all right? ecfr.gov, and look at Title 14. That's all the aviation regulations. Not all the aviation regulations that are in Title 14 are actually contained in that blue book. And you will see here some of these reference materials that you're expected to know about for the private pilot check ride are not in that blue book. So if you show up to your check ride with that blue book and think all the answers they could possibly ever ask you are contained within it, that's not correct. In that book, just because the date printed on the cover matches the current year we're in, that doesn't mean it's the most up-to-date or the most current. Obviously, once a book is printed, it becomes instantly out of date because if they make any other updates, the pages don't magically change the words themselves. So ecfr.gov, great resource to have. That's what you should be looking up on your iPad or cell phone or computer or whatever during your check ride if you have any questions on regulations. The blue book's a great thing to have to quickly flip through and access things, but again, may not be actually current and legal. So Part 39 of that blue book is Airworthiness Directives. Do you need to read all Part 39? No, it's very complicated, especially for a private pilot with all that legal speak. Unless you're an attorney, it's going to be difficult to understand. So what we really want you to know is, what are airworthiness directives? How do they apply to you? And we'll talk more about that when we get into the specific tasks in the private pilot ACS. Now, with the next reference here, we have 14 CFR Part 43. That is just maintenance, preventative maintenance, rebuilding, and alteration. Do you need to know everything in Part 43? Absolutely not. You're not a mechanic. We just need you to know the things that apply to you as far as what are the required inspections for your aircraft and what preventative maintenance can you accomplish as a private pilot. We'll deal with that in the specific tasks when we get there. Next up is Part 61. Again, do you need to read all of Part 61? No, but I would really highly encourage you to read the beginnings of Part 61 all the way up to the private pilot section and everything through private pilot. So what are you expected to know as a private pilot? What are the aeronautical experience requirements? What are your privileges and limitations? And then everything in Part 61 from the very beginning, 61.1, the definitions moving forward, things that apply to you like, hey, what is the medical certificate duration for a private pilot? What does a flight review actually consist of in 6156? All of that. I want you to actually take the time to thumb through that section in Part 61 and read through there up to private pilot. You can ignore the parts about recreational pilots or sport pilot or commercial or instrument or any of that. You can leave all that aside from now. Just the beginning parts of Part 61 and then the private pilot section. We'll talk more about that here in a bit. Then we have Part 68, requirements for operating certain small aircraft without a medical certificate. That is really basic med, and this really only applies to you if you are going to be operating on basic med, if you're a candidate for that, if you already have held a third class medical or better within the past 10 years and you're capable of getting basic med, or you're currently operating on a basic med certificate, then you should know the requirements and the limitations for a basic med certificate. If you have a regular third class medical, well, then we expect you to know just about the regular third class, second class, and first class medicals. Again, that'll be covered later in the course. Part 71 is the designation of class A, B, C, D, and E airspaces, air traffic service routes, and reporting points. Don't bother reading Part 71. Doesn't really matter for us. What we need you to know is how to recognize, well, class B and C and D airspace and E airspace on a chart. And where is Class A airspace? And what are the requirements of all those different classes of airspace? So that is what's covered in the private pilot course, the premium private pilot course online at Flight Mike Alpha. If you've been through that course and you've been through the airspace sections, then you're in good shape. Part 91, general operating and flight rules. I don't want you to read all Part 91. I'd love for you to, but it's really long. And again, you might need to be an attorney to really understand much of it. What is good is to read the table of contents. So what I really want you to do is read the table of contents on Part 91. So flip to 91.1 or whatever it is, and then go just back a page to the table of contents for Part 91 in that blue book or online at ecfr.gov and see what is actually contained. What are the rules in Part 91? So if you need to reference any of that stuff, like what is the minimum equipment you need on board? What is the minimum cloud clearance and visibility for Class C airspace? All that is contained in Part 91, and you will know exactly what is contained in Part 91 if you read that table of contents for Part 91. Part 93, this is one of those that you won't find in the Blue Book, but it may or may not apply to you as a private pilot. If you're training in, say, Florida, well, Part 93 really doesn't cover us a whole bunch. But Part 93 has some places like Washington, D.C., New York, out in California, in Arizona, in Alaska, where there are special air traffic rules, either SATRs or CFRAs. So, special air traffic rules, something that's good to be familiar with, but this is an example of when that blue book does you no good because they've left it out of there. It's a third-party book. It's not actually from the FAA. So your FAR AIM, your little blue book, not always going to have the answers you need. This is where you have to go to ecfr.gov, look at Part 93, and then see if there's any of those areas of the country that actually apply to any of the flying that you're going to be doing. If you only intend to fly in Florida forever and you're never going to leave the state, you'll probably never encounter any of that airspace that Part 93 applies to. But it's a good thing to be familiar with and at least know it exists in case you ever do want to do some cross-country flights and go cruising through areas like the Grand Canyon or around Alaska or out in California or through New York and so on. Now, moving on here to the first advisory circular we have. At this point, you should already be familiar with what an advisory circular is. It's simply a document that clarifies regulations and gives us a little bit more information as pilots. It's not regulatory in any way, except it is important on your check ride. You should be familiar with these documents. Advisory Circular 00-6, Aviation Weather. Well, that one is basically information about aviation weather in FAA speak, so it's not the easiest thing to understand. The important parts of that advisory circular were built into our premium private pilot ground school at flightmikealpha.com. So if you've been through that course, then you really know what you need to know about weather at this point. But it's okay to go ahead and flip open that advisory circular, thumb through it, and learn a little bit more. It's a little bit thorough, and some of it doesn't all apply to general aviation airplanes, so it can be difficult for you as a private pilot to know what applies to jets and what applies to you. Obviously, things that affect us down low are important. Things like the jet stream that happened up at 30, 40,000 feet, not so applicable to you. Again, the weather lessons inside of the Premium Private Pilot Ground School are what really disseminate what is important for you to know, and then we've left out everything that doesn't apply to general aviation airplanes from that advisory circular. Advisory circulars are available for free on Google. Just make sure you have the most current copy and it's coming directly from the FAA website. You don't like to get advisory circulars from third-party websites. The stuff that we have here on Flight Mike Alpha, we make a very, very big effort to make sure that as soon as an advisory circular is updated, that we update it here on our website. But obviously the FAA is always going to be the fastest, best resource for current documents, especially advisory circulars. Now, the next one here is AC00-45. That is Aviation Weather Services. That outlines for us every single aviation weather service available. A lot of them are applicable to airliners, not us as private pilots. Again, anything that is applicable to us as private pilots, that was covered in the Premium Private Pilot Ground School. Again, you can go ahead and thumb through AC00-45, at least through the table of contents, and see what might apply to you as a private pilot that you might want to read up a little bit more about, or things that are obvious to apply to pilots flying in Alaska or pilots that are flying airliners up very, very high, places that we don't go. The next advisory circular, 60-28, is English Language Skill Standards. Now, if you were born in the United States and you speak really good English, or even if you were born abroad and you speak really good English, it's your first language or even a second language, but you feel very good about it, well, this is pointless for you. And this is something that at the time of your check ride should have already been covered. No one should have ever let you go fly solo or given you that student pilot certificate if you don't meet the requirements within AC 60-28. Now, let's say that you're not quite sure about your English, or you see someone at your flight school that really doesn't have very good English language skills, and they did get their student pilot certificate, they went solo, but they just are terrible on the radio, they can't communicate, and you're like, wow, that person, I'd be surprised if they became a pilot. Well, there is the opportunity here during the check ride for the examiner to say, no, I don't think you meet the requirements of reading, writing, and speaking the English language. We're not going to be able to give you a private pilot certificate today on the grounds that You don't really have the English language skills required. This advisory circular 60-28 outlines a little bit more clearly what we need for English language skills. It's great for flight instructors to look at this. And if you're at all in doubt, you can reference this. But if you are understanding everything I'm saying, well, then you're probably in good shape. So we can go ahead and bypass that one. This really won't apply to anyone unless you're right on the cusp of actually speaking, reading, and writing the English language appropriately. 61-67 is stall and spin awareness training. That is a great advisory circular to read cover to cover if you have the time. That is what your flight instructor should be talking about with you, and that is what we talk about in the spin awareness course online at flightmikealpha.com. That spin awareness course on flightmikealpha.com you can access with your online membership to that course. It's about 45 minutes to 60 minutes to go through that entire course. It covers the parts of 61-67, and that is something very important for you to know for your private pilot check ride. Also something very important that your instructor should be going through with you before they send you for a private pilot check ride, perhaps even before they send you solo. All the information in the FAA language can be found in 6167, of course, in our spin awareness course online at Flight Mike Alpha. We try to make it more plain language, a little bit easier to understand than the FAA speak that they have in that advisory circular. AC-91-73 is parts of 91 and 135 single pilot flight school procedures during taxi operations. What that really means here is what should you be doing while you are taxiing? It simply lays out the best practices for making sure you know where you are in the airport, that you don't have any runway incursions, that you take precautions to brief your taxi on the taxiway diagram saying where you expect to be going, that you come to a complete stop if you need to look at anything in the cockpit, that you're never heads down when you're taxiing, you're not texting on your phone while you're taxiing. All of those common sense things are outlined in that advisory circular. Next one we have here, AC-68-1. That really only applies to someone who has a different set of circumstances to be examined under, say a deaf pilot or somebody missing some fingers, they have a special insurance medical, things like that, most likely does not apply to you, so we won't be going over that one. And then AC-91.21-1, that is the use of portable electronic devices aboard aircraft. Highly recommend you read this one, especially if you're a millennial. Sometimes the examiners like to pick on the millennials that are always on their phones to see if they really know what the rules and regulations are about personal electronic devices on board aircraft and how to appropriately use your cell phone, your iPad, and so on when you're flying, that you're not getting distracted by those devices, but they are being used to help the safety of flight, not hurt it. That is a good advisory circular to poke through and take a look at, especially if you feel like you're one of those people that's always on your phone and might get called out for it. Next up, we have the AIM, the Aeronautical Information Manual. Really big document, really helpful, super awesome stuff in there, very educational, very informative, but very, very thick document. Don't need to read it cover to cover, but as soon as you have a question or some random idea, I recommend you reference the AIM, and that is the best way to probably read the AIM, is just over time, as you're curious about things, look in the table of contents or look in the index, see if there's any references in the AIM about your question, and little by little, you'll read through that as you just go on those little tangents and things pique your curiosity. That is the best way to digest that material. Next up, we have FAA-H-80-83-1. All these numbers here, we're not really going to go through. I'm just going to list them off here. We have the Aircraft Weight and Balance Handbook. If you're already really good at weight and balance, well, you can probably skip that one. If you feel a little iffy on it, highly recommend you read the Aircraft Weight and Balance Handbook or refresh on the weight and balance lesson inside the Premium Private Pilot Ground School here at Flight Mike Alpha. Next up, we have Risk Management Handbook. All right, so the Risk Management Handbook, again, a really good thing if you want to use those fancy FAA words on the day of your check ride to impress your examiner. Good thing to flip through so you can articulate exactly how you're going to mitigate risk when you're in flight. We teach you good ways to mitigate risk in the ground school. We give you good examples, but if you want to be good at articulating it and really showing that you thoroughly understand it, a good idea to reference that Risk Management Handbook as well when you have time. It's not too long of a read to thumb through and just skim over the high points. Next up, we have the Airplane Flying Handbook. The Airplane Flying Handbook is a nice FAA document with some good pictures in it that can give you some good information about what you really need to know as a pilot when you're flying. A lot of our ground school really rewrites the FAA airplane flying handbook into easier to understand lessons. So if you've gone through our ground school, you've really gotten all the high points that you need to from the airplane flying handbook. But if you want the FAA's version, you can always look at that. And of course, all these resources, all these references are available free online from the FAA. Just simply go on Google, type in the name of the resource or the reference number, and then comma FAA, and make sure you get it from an FAA.gov source. Next up, we have the Advanced Avionics Handbook. Probably doesn't apply to the airplane you're flying, but if you have a G1000, if you have G5s in there, if you have a G300, if you have any glass in your airplane or an autopilot, a good idea to just thumb through and skim through that book, hit the high points on it, things that your instructor should have already told you. But if you're wondering at all, if your instructor has really thoroughly prepared you for the check ride, then I'd recommend going through that Advanced Avionics Handbook that points out some of the things we should be aware of when we have those more advanced flight decks in front of us compared to the old simple steam gauges with very basic radios and very basic instruments. Next up is the Instrument Flying Handbook, and you might say, whoa, I'm just a private pilot here. I'm not trying to go for my instrument rating just yet. That's coming next for me, not right now. Well, the FAA still expects you to know a little bit about instrument flying, at least about how to get out of the clouds and out of a bad situation. So don't read the entire instrument flying handbook, but the high points of it, how do you get out of a bad situation? It could be summed up as simply as, hey, if you flew into clouds, make a nice, stable, steady 180-degree turn to get out of them. And how do you accomplish that with looking at the instruments and doing all those different things? All that stuff that your instructor talks to you about, those things we talk about in the instrument flying section on the Private Pilot Ground School at Flight Mike Alpha, that is what we want to be able to knowledgeably know about. And we'll go through that when we hit those tasks in the Private Pilot ACS here later on. Next up is Seaplane, Skiplane, and Float/Ski-Equipped Helicopter Operations Handbook. We're going to go ahead and skip past that one because it probably doesn't apply to you, and we don't have anything in this specific course about seaplane or skiplane flying. That is going to be in a different course online at flightmikealpha.com that you can find that you would have access to with your membership. Now, after this, we have the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge. This is often referred to as our Bible. The Airplane Flying Handbook combined with the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge is about 90% of the information you need to know as a pilot. A lot of great stuff in there. Again, the PHAC or Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge was really rewritten and combined into the Premium Private Pilot Ground School here at flightmikealpha.com. So if you've gone through that course, then you've got everything out of that PHAC that you really need to know. Of course, you can always use it as good reference material. It is always a good thing to refer to on your check ride. All of these references here are fair game to go ahead and open up on the day of your check ride. Very few of these are things that we actually expect you to remember and know stone cold. There's a few things here and there, anything that you would really need to know on the fly as a pilot flying the airplane, we expect you to know. But anything that you would logically be able to look up, like, hey, what are the cloud clearance requirements in certain airspace? Or what are the rules that pertain to this or that or medical certificate durations? Well, you don't have to know them stone cold off the top of your head. It's nice if you do, but it's also good if you just know that it's in Part 61. Even better if you know that it's in Part 61.23 and you can look up and find the answer there. Now, moving along here, we have the next reference material, Flying Light Twins Safely Pamphlet. Doesn't apply to you because we're talking about single engine airplanes here. Next up, the Pilot's Operating Handbook or FAA Approved Flight Manual. Super important that not only this is in the airplane because it's legally required to be in the airplane. Remember, aero, all right, the O in aero, you need to have this on board the aircraft. You need to read this thing. Not cover to cover, word for word, but you need to skim through it cover to cover. You need to be very familiar with it, and about 80% of it you should be reading verbatim from the POH or from the AFM. If it's an older airplane where it's only 30, 40 pages long, read it cover to cover. If it's one of those newer airplanes where the thing is 400 pages long, well, skim it and be pretty darn familiar with each section. You can obviously skip through all the legalese and all the warnings that are in there that you're going to find in the newer POHs. But the older ones, they were pretty brief, and we do recommend you read those cover to cover. Be familiar with all limitations, all procedures for your aircraft. And then the other references we have, chart supplements, navigation charts, navigation equipment manual, USCG navigation rules, international and inland. That's only for seaplanes, so don't worry about that. And then NOTAMs, all right. Now, there's not going to be any printed NOTAMs you bring the day of your check ride. It's just, where do you find those? You may not even have any paper charts. We recommend you have some paper charts, but it's fine to have just for flight, just Garmin Pilot on your iPad, on your phone. We really do recommend, though, you have at least one backup paper chart for your area. Chart supplements, again, very easily accessible online through Google onto the FAA website or from Garmin Pilot, ForeFlight, any of those online apps. That's okay to have it just on the iPad. The biggest thing to have a paper backup copy of would be a sectional chart paper backup copy in case the iPad were to fail. A paper backup chart supplement, up to you really. And then the actual FAR AIM and paper copy rather than just ecfr.gov, it's nice to have it tabbed out. So it's fine to have that blue FAR AIM book. Just realize not everything you need is actually contained in that book. And then as far as a navigation equipment manual, you should already be familiar with how to work all of the equipment on board your aircraft. And of course, if there's anything fancy like a G1000, a Garmin 430, anything like that, it's legally required to have a supplement on board the aircraft for how to work that piece of equipment that would detail out how all that stuff works. Good idea to thumb through that and make sure that you are ready to work all of the equipment, all of the buttons and switches, everything that's in your airplane. You need to be able to touch and feel, look at all those instruments, know how they all work, know how all those buttons work, know what they do, know how they control, and know how to work all of those pieces of navigation equipment, all your GPS, VORs, anything like that. That's it for references. That is it for the overview of the Private Pilot ACS. Next, we're going to jump into Area of Operation 1 and start talking about Task A in Area of Operation 1. We'll see you back here for that.